Hi, welcome back. I'm festive. You're festive. Chat's already talking about Trump blowing Bubba. Maybe we'll talk about who Bubba is. We tried to keep your location a secret, but Tim Anderson spilled the beans and the fans saw. So cat's out of the bag. Chris is in Brazil. How is it, Chris? How are you?
I'm doing well. I swam in the Amazon today. Got to hang out. Got to have monkeys jump on me. Now just preparing for a lovely evening here. It's beautiful.
Is it? It looks really nice. Are you at a cafe?
Yes, I'm at a very nice cafe here. And there's a pool in front of me and everything is very nice.
What's the vibe in Venezuela? Just chill?
Venezuela?
I mean, Brazil, sorry. We'll get to Venezuela. I got Venezuela on my mind.
Listen, the vibe in Venezuela, Colombia, Brazil, all this area that's near the coast is very nice. It's very chill. Everyone's just like tranquilo. You know, I get antsy. I'm like, we got to go do this. We got to come on, comrades. And they're like, tranquilo, compañero.
Calm down.
Well, yeah. So I'm calm. I'm chill.
Well, speaking of, he has no chill. Trump. I guess we've been predicting this for a few episodes now. We've been talking about where the split was going to be. And once again, we were right. And we're going to get, that'll be our last segment. We'll save the best for last, the MAGA Civil War. Obviously, since Chris is down in the basin, we'll talk about what's happening in South America and what's going on down there. And for now, let's stop in with one of our favorites, Zelensky. Poor Zelensky. Zelensky, my dog is not cooperating. Zelensky's approval rating has collapsed over the past week. It's down about 40%, now sitting below 20%. The figures come from Ukrainian member of parliament, Yaroslav Zelensky, who cites the three closed polling studies conducted immediately after the corruption scandal involving the leaked Mindich tapes. We touched on this the last episode. We gave you guys a little bit of a preview. Here's some of the headlines. Apparently, things are not going that well as Ukraine faces its darkest winter yet, literally and figuratively. This corruption scandal is sending shockwaves through the Zelensky administration. So there was a probe. The probe was called Operation Midas. It involved 15 months of wiretaps, 70 raids, cash seizures, and even a gold toilet. You guys might have seen the gold toilet. It's like monkey see, monkey do. They see Trump do it. They got to get their own golden toilet, I guess.
Everyone needs a gold toilet.
$100 million U.S. dollars in stolen funds via 10 to 15% kickbacks from energy contractors. The primary victim of this was Ukraine's energy infrastructure. What is Russia doing? It's taking out all of the Ukrainian infrastructure. In fact, let's check in with Ukrainian energy infrastructure. So, of course, on the heels of this scandal dropping, Russia was tagging them anyway, but Russia has really kicked up the attacks on the energy infrastructure. That's one from their most recent attack. Accused of being the ringleader of this is Timur Tatar name, Timur Mindich. And there's
Zelensky
and Mindich. So strange. So they're ex-business partners. They worked together at Kvartal 95. He is also tied to the inflated drone contracts, which you guys probably remember. Alexei Chernyshov, he is an ex-deputy PM. He's accused of laundering over $1 million. Svetlana Hrinchuk and Herman Halushchenko were the energy and justice ministers, and both were forced to resign. Now, Zelensky is not directly implicated, but don't forget, Zelensky was trying to get rid of the anti-corruption organizations that were probing this. So What do you know about this and what are your thoughts?
Well, of course, I actually had the opportunity to speak. I'm sure many of our viewers saw it on Rick Sanchez. And I had an opportunity, I had a whole segment about this. And we spoke and I basically said, look, we've known about rampant corruption going on from other sources. We've also investigated, I've been on a couple documentaries talking about the corruption in the defense industry, which has been enormous. I mean, we're talking about a giant mafia state, a clearinghouse for weapons and cash and all the bad things that are going on, not only in the region, but to Africa, to Asia, to the Middle East, and also abroad. So one of the things is we remember earlier on, we remember the resignation of Reznikov, who was the Ukrainian defense minister before. So there's been a lot of corruption scandals surrounding Zelensky. Mindich, of course, is a very high profile one. Why? They are like childhood friends for all intents and purposes. I mean, these two cats have been together all along. He's probably one of the closest. And where did he flee to in the middle of the night after he was tipped off? Where'd he go?
Israel?
Israel! Ah, bingo! Right. Bingo! So just to give people an idea, I mean, we remember, you know, Zelensky saying he wanted to have Ukraine be the new Israel, this kind of stuff. There's been a widespread corruption, and there's been a lot of graft, grift. And of course, the Ukrainian POWs that I interviewed, when I asked them what kind of equipment they were using, they said all old Soviet stuff. And I asked them, where'd all the Western equipment go? They said, we never saw it on the front lines. So whatever's going on, people are making a lot of cash. And you've seen that. We've seen tweets. We've seen Instagram posts. We've seen TikToks from Ukrainian models, OnlyFans stars, these types that are clearly parading around Europe and also within Ukraine, a lot of money and wealth. And they are associated, sleeping with, married to, having affairs with Ukrainian top officials. Meanwhile, Ukrainians are being forcibly mobilized against their will and sent to the meat grinder. So this has caused shockwaves, and it could bring down the Zelensky government or cause a wider political scandal that could lead to a coup, who knows what. But in any case, Zelensky is on a tightrope here, very, very tight for what happens next. The U.S. has been quiet, but we'll see what ends up happening in the coming days.
Exactly. And you mentioned that this isn't the first time, and it's not. Just so our viewers will point out to the viewers, in 2023, there was the defense ministry probe, which was $262 million embezzled. The defense minister resigned for that one. The drone scandal, which we mentioned earlier, which was a $40 million scandal. The Pandora Papers, 2021, yeah, another $40 million scandal. And obviously, you guys have seen it, the fake medals, the bad meals, et cetera, et cetera. Where there's war, there's money. And where there's money, always, there's a Ukrainian or an Israeli. So also, I found this video today. I thought it was quite horrifying. This is a video from a Ukrainian medic. I was going to subtitle it. You don't really need to. You guys know all the Russian curse words by now. But it's quite terrifying. This is the Pokrovsk front.
Сука. Нихуя не чую.
Обрывай.
That's some real shit.
Screaming drones. This is Zelensky's fault. These men don't need to even be in that pocket anymore. It's horrifying.
You know what? They gotta do They got to do their service to Zelensky's regime. And he's just sending them in there. They don't care. Like I said, Ukrainian POWs are already declared missing, so their families don't get payments and they don't have to repatriate the body even before they enter the front line. Like once they are staged to go and storm, they're already issued. Their families are already issued missing notices. That's how much the Ukrainian regime cares about their soldiers.
And now for your viewing pleasure, I'm going to rage bait Chris for the viewers. Well, all of this is going on. And the, amid the corruption scandal, guess where Zelensky is? Opa! Zelensky arrives in Greece today. Ukraine and Greece have signed a deal allowing U.S. liquefied natural gas to transit through Greek terminals. Zelensky said during his visit to Athens, he claimed the first gas shipments will reach Ukraine in January.
I just want to say, any true Greek patriot stands with Russia, has stood with Russia since Byzantine times, will stand with Russia till the end of time. That's it. End of story. This Greek government doesn't represent the Greek people, including myself as a Greek citizen. And our first leader in modern independent Greece, Ioannis Kapodistrias, was the foreign minister of the Russian Empire. Our leaders, my family members, my clan in Mani worked with Tsar Alexander, Tsar Nicholas I, Orlov, Suvorov. Any proud patriotic Greek understands that Russia is Byzantium realized. Is third Rome, second Jerusalem. Then the last capital of Byzantium in Mistras is only just about an hour away drive from my village. And so that whole area, we are very, very, very pro-Russia. Always have been, always will be. And I just want to say our prime minister, Mitsotakis, is an absolute disgrace. And he's a bootlicker of the global elite. He's a bootlicker of these Ukrainians and the European Union. And his time is coming. We're going to throw him out of office.
I think everybody's time is coming. But since I've got Chris nice and worked up, we'll segue to South America. A new OSINT map dropped. So I want you guys to take a look at this. It might be a little small for you, but these are all of the potential military targets. Venezuela's potential U.S. military targets, air bases, radar sites, naval hubs, and C2 nodes, many concentrated along the northern coast and near Caracas, with the U.S. S. Ford strike group now operating inside of SOUTHCOM. U.S. forces have both reach and readiness for precision land strikes or naval interdiction at short notice. The targets include air bases at Maracay, Barquisimeto, El Libertador, radar and ISR nodes near Caracas and La Guaira, and strategic ports at Puerto Cabello and others. Pentagon planners would prioritize destabilizing the air defense.
It's getting real heavy. I mean, there were a couple maps that we saw of what the strategic air defense for the northern part, for basically the border with the Caribbean, looks like for Venezuela, with a sort of depth range for S-300s, for some of the other ones, for whether it's book systems from Soviet, different kind of systems that they have, even some American systems as well from before. Even Chavez's time. I think that clearly there is an air defense. And the problem is, and the one thing that I've noticed is a big concern, is that if the Americans attack, at least with a bombing sortie, and the Venezuelans are able to knock down a U.S. airplane, that gives the perfect pretense to increase and escalate the situation. So I think there's a lot of people who are nervous, and saying basically, okay, like if we cross that Rubicon, there's no going back because the U.S. is going to cry for blood and people are going to rally around the flag. You know, my God, they shut down, who knows, F-16, F-22, F-35, AWACS, you know, who knows what they're going to shoot down. So I just want to say that the Venezuelan air defense systems are sizable in number and also have a great capability. The problem is that withstanding an assault on those capabilities, of course, will degrade Venezuelan air defenses and open up the country to further, you know, control of the skies by the Americans. But don't forget, Ukraine has an air force. I mean, Ukraine, Venezuela has an air force. And Venezuela's air force, of course, is equipped with some very good aircraft. And so we'll see. We'll see what ends up happening in the skies. But dominance of the skies will be the U.S.'s number one objective in any sort of operation of this kind. It has always sought in any war, in the, especially in recent history, complete maneuverability of the skies. That is critical for the United States. So keep an eye out on that. Anything related to air defense, air mobility, we're going to be seeing a lot more of that, I think, in the months and weeks ahead.
And just breaking today is that the Ford has arrived. These are satellite visuals. It has arrived in the Caribbean. You can see that now. Also broke today. I don't have a visual not yet, but Israel has moved even further into Lebanon. This would mark a very, very big escalation. It's being reported that the security establishment of Israel is now recommending a short multi-day military campaign in Lebanon. So I'm making a note, and the reason why I'm bringing it up is because one could be using cover for the other for cover.
Exactly.
So at the same time, IDF forces have reportedly, I don't have confirmation on this yet because I haven't talked to anybody in Lebanon, but IDF forces have reportedly entered the Lebanese border village of Adaiseh, and with Lebanese army reinforcements running to the area. If confirmed, this marks the most direct Israeli ground movement into Lebanon since 2006 and a major step towards open war. So keep an eye on that. We also had an incident at the Serbian Kosovo, so-called Kosovo, as they say in Serbia, the so-called Kosovo border. A bunch of Albanians opened fire on the border guards and struck a dog, a military dog. So that situation is developing. Keep on watching sort of little nodes. I am going to use one of my favorite leaders to segue into the next section, but I do want to ask, and I've been asking people this all week, is I was thinking Venezuela was the distraction from the Epstein files and that they were kind of racing against one another. And it just happened that the Epstein files beat Venezuela by like a couple days, maybe even hours. So this is, let's listen to Petro.
Un clan de pedófilos quiere acabar la democracia en Colombia. ¿Duro? Sí. Pero ahí está la realidad. Y para que no salga la lista, entonces nos envían acorazados a matar pescadores de esta ciudad. Y amenazar al vecino, que si dictador o no, ¿cómo que el pueblo de Colombia va a aplaudir que invadan a su hermano, que no es el presidente, sino el pueblo de Venezuela? ¿Cuándo? Seríamos así de traidores y de vendidos de que nuestra propia sangre la traicionamos, o el pueblo del Ecuador, o el pueblo de Panamá, o el pueblo de Venezuela no es nuestro propio pueblo.
So, we're ran by a gang of pedophiles. Petro agrees with me. Venezuela was the distraction from the files.
Yep. They can't be distracted anymore.
Nobody's going to buy it. I mean, I think that if anything, Epstein would be the distraction from Venezuela. But at this point, is it worth it to even go through with Venezuela? I'm not really sure.
I'll tell you one thing. People will see through it. I think people are already seeing through it. And I think people are angry. People are angry. And one thing I heard today, and I'm here at, you know, COP30. With the Iranian delegation here. And I mean, people are talking, but basically saying, hey, at this point, your country's cannibalizing itself. I mean, the Republican Party is eating its own. The MAGA movement is tearing itself apart. And that fallout, what's to come in the coming, you know, hours, days, weeks, who knows? We're going to see big divisions that are going to begin to form. Those divisions have political implications. Those political implications will affect political decision-making, ultimately. And I think that if this continues, this rift continues, you're going to see a lot of defection from any prior support for military action and more support for handling business at home. because this is front page news. This is going to eat the airwaves, and nobody is going to be quiet about it. If the U.S. starts attacking Venezuela, everyone's going to say, whoa, 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 wait a second. Mm-hmm. We're talking about this situation here. Why are you going and bombing over there? Mm-hmm. Right? And people, I think people are going to get angry. I think it's going to lead to more defections, to be honest. I don't know if it's going to have a rallying around the flag effect, as many people are saying it would.
No, it's too late. It's done. Well, then let's get into it. So I mean, I think I've got this timeline correct. You've been off having fun with Gavin Newsom at COP30, whatever you're doing down there.
I said Iranian delegation talking about Palestine.
Well, you know, we refused to send a delegation. So Gavin Newsom volunteered himself. So he's down there. That's what happened. Anyway, so on November 14th, I believe that's when Trump posts this. So yeah, November 14th is when it starts. Now that the Democrats are using the Epstein hoax involving Democrats, not Republicans, are trying to deflect from their disastrous shutdown, blah, 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 blah. The DOJ, together with our great patriots, the FBI, will investigate Jeffrey Epstein's involvement with all of these people. Reid Hoffman, JP Morgan, Chase, yada, 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 Russia, 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 blah, 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 blah. Great. Okay. Well, you in the same post, you say that it's a hoax, and then you tell Americans that you're going to still waste their taxpayer dollars on investigating it with the entire FBI and the Department of Justice.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But we already know. We already know what's going on. We already know what's happening. Like, it doesn't, we don't have to reinvent the wheel here.
Right. So if you notice, he mixes in his enemies and then like sort of like the bankers, right? They're like, oh, we'll investigate Bill Clinton, Larry Summers, and then JP Morgan and Chase and whatever. He had dinner with JP Morgan and Chase the other night, a couple nights ago, yeah. The night the Epstein files dropped, he had dinner with them. Canceled the press too. Press were supposed to attend. They were not allowed. It became a closed door dinner. I would bet a paycheck that I don't get that he definitely was like, listen, we're just going to name you guys. It's going to be all right. But you know what? I don't want to give away any spoilers. So let's see what Massey thinks about this. This is Massey today.
Mm-hmm. You know, the president's been saying this is a hoax. He's been saying that for months. Well, he's just now decided to investigate a hoax if it's a hoax. And I have another concern about these investigations that he's announced. If they have ongoing investigations in certain areas, those documents can't be released. So this might be a big smokescreen, these investigations, to open a bunch of them to as a last ditch effort to prevent the release of the Epstein files.
There you go.
There you have it.
Now we want to investigate it because it'll block the release of more.
You see, he's going to try to gum it up. They're going to try to do the lawfare kind of playbook, to gum up the system, say, whoa, whoa, it's active investigation. We can't do anything. And who knows? They're going to send it down, kick the can down the road.
Right. So that's how it all begins. So that's Massey's response from today. At a press gaggle on Air Force One, Trump says this.
So, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is not any way. I mean, she is a very different thinking than I have. Something happened to her over the last period of a month or two where she changed, I think, politically. I think that her constituents aren't going to be happy. Already, I have people calling me. They want to challenge her to a race in her district in Georgia. And, you know, that's too bad. She's lost a wonderful conservative reputation. But when she says, don't go overseas. If I didn't go overseas, we might be in a war right now with China.
Would you be open to endorsing someone primarying Marjorie Taylor Greene given her latest statements?
Well, it depends on who runs against her. I mean, I'm no longer much of a fan because I disagree with her policy. But she said that, you know, going to foreign countries, bringing back trillions of dollars is not important. Do you think I want to go and be on an airplane for 20 hours? Some of you were with me, 22 hours to be exact, travel and then get off and make a speech and get people to invest hundreds of billions of dollars in our country. I'd rather do it without having to go. But if you didn't go, you wouldn't be able to have that kind of result.
How about he like makes it into like, you ungrateful child, you think I want to go to hang out with MBS and MBZ? The guy want to go over there and bring back these trillions of dollars and private contracts that don't even exist? Do you think I want to do that? Regardless, this
is what you know. You know, the funny thing is that he actually doesn't want to do that because his family is getting enriched from the whole thing. It's one big Ponzi scheme to think of. And he's using the American taxpayer dollars to fund his own private interests and his own private exploits and business ventures. I mean, his kids are getting rich. His kids are getting rich, especially Jared Kushner, who's weaseling his way into all these deals, especially in the GCC, and finding a way to make a lot of money, you know, and perpetuate this Trump dynasty. So, I mean, sure, he might not want to do it as a public servant, but as a businessman, he's very happy to continue to serve the Trump enterprise.
And let's all be serious. Somebody said it in the chat. I'm sorry, I missed who it was, but nobody's calling him about primarying Marjorie Taylor Greene. Marjorie Taylor Greene is like a hometown hero in her district. She wins by like landslides. And the only person calling him is Miriam Adelson. Is it Adelson or Adelson? Adelson, I think. It's Miriam Adelson.
I just call her Satan.
Miriam Adelson calling him to say she'll pay for whoever wants to primary her. That's what's really going on. Not that there's nobody that wants to challenge Marjorie Taylor Greene. So then he takes to Truth Social, which is where the magic happens. You guys know that. So the Truth Social posts begin. Is this the one? Well, let's start with Massey. This is what he says about Massey. Did Thomas Massey, someone referred to as Rand Paul Jr. because of the fact that he always votes against the Republican Party, get married already? Boy, that was quick. No wonder the polls have him at less than an 8% chance of winning the election. Anyway, have a great life, Thomas. And question mark, his wife will soon find out that she is stuck with a loser. What the fuck? First of all.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know why people are giving Massey any shit about getting remarried, because statistically, widowers marry very quickly. It's normal for a man to marry very quickly. And I love that. Where's Trump grandstanding from? His wife's grave that he put on a fucking golf course so he didn't have to pay taxes on it after he may or may not have had a hand in her dying? I don't know. What are we talking about here? And why are you talking about anybody's personal life on True Social?
First of all, for the president to stoop down to that level, you know, it just makes me think that when you look at Kim and Putin and Xi, you're just like, that's a real statesman. You don't see them ever talking about anyone's life. They don't want anyone to talk about their life. It's just, look, deal with the political, you know, affairs of the state, and that's it. Like, you got nothing else to worry about, and you should comment on nothing else. This guy over here is basically, this is, you know what? I want to say it. And we talked about it earlier today with a great crew of people here, including Ajamu Baraka, Tim Anderson. Yeah. We've got Bushra Sheikh. We've got a whole crew here. I want to say that American politics has devolved into one perpetual, never-ending reality TV show. That's all it is. It's just for tickets. It's just for hype. And it has absolutely no substance, no history, no philosophy, no political theory, nothing. No policy, nothing. It's all about ad hominems. Who did this? Who did that? It's just a nonstop gossip column. And that's the real problem that we're in here. And you're going to keep seeing here as we go through this, what American politics has become and what could be the ending of this movement that has been built over this decade and the beginning of something else possibly in the pipeline.
Yeah, and let me wrap up Massey, because I'm obviously going to talk about MTG. So this is Massey's response to that, sort of.
I would remind my Republican colleagues who are deciding how to vote, Donald Trump can protect you in red districts right now by giving you an endorsement. But in 2030, he's not going to be the president, and you will have voted to protect pedophiles if you don't vote to release these files, and the president can't protect you then. This vote, the record of this vote, will last longer than Donald Trump's.
Very good. He is That's forcing true. A vote on the floor so we can have a record of who votes for protecting pedophiles and who doesn't. I liked Thomas Massey. Thomas Massey has always followed us for years. Shout out to Thomas Massey. I've always liked Thomas Massey. I do have a little bit of a libertarian streak in me. And I actually think he's being a little optimistic. I think that Trump's endorsement for 2020 six is like a Hillary endorsement. People, I had a candidate for California governor come to me and say, do you think that this would even be a good idea to even accept it? And I was like, the fact that you're even asking says a lot, that you're asking if the sitting president if the sitting president gave you an endorsement, you're even thinking about declining it. That's a huge statement in and of itself. So I think that his endorsements might be even a little bit radioactive. He's going to mess around and make a massive Marjorie Taylor Greene ticket.
Yep.
I don't endorse yet. Let me just say, we're not putting the cart before the horse, but he just better tread lightly, because he might mess around and make some anti-heroes. And we know how that goes. It doesn't always go the way that we want it to. So Trump then, well, he also posts this, which is eerie.
First of all, the first thing I thought when I saw that was Eyes Wide Shut. And I was like, is he openly commenting on his
the Bubba allegation?
Yeah, like what? Like, what is that supposed to mean? I was like, what is this? First of all, it's not Batman. It's not the Joker.
No.
It's not V for Vendetta. That kind of thing is that kind of Venetian mask and, you know, bunch of rich oligarchs fucking, you know, women and killing them and drinking blood and who knows what. I don't know what the fuck they do. I only hang out with the Global South and they're fighting and doing all their stuff. So I'm saying whatever's going on up there, this look is not good for him. It's not good for him. His name's on the list, everybody, just FYI. So posting something like that just confirms that his name is on the list.
Yeah. And since everybody in the chat is talking about the Bubba email, we don't know who Bubba is. I do want to make sure you guys keep in your mind there's a couple possibilities. One of here's
Bubba Hotep.
Yeah, Chili Bubba Pepper Hotep. Says George Galloway says Bubba is Ghislaine's horse. And Bubba is obviously a well-known nickname for Bill Clinton. But this is an odd video that the producer sent to me before the show. This is like, I got to be at least a decade old.
There's no video of President Trump sucking a ding dong. And so what if there was? That's a lot better than World War III, Owen. I never sucked any ding dongs.
Okay.
I remember that clip. I remember.
Why did he say that? Why did he say Trump never? There's no video of Trump sucking ding dongs. Why did he even say that 15 years ago?
And even if he did,
who cares? But we've already known that Alex Jones is cool with a little bit of tranny love. He's okay with that.
Yeah, he's definitely cool with that shemale. He is. That lady boy, he's there.
To me, you look like a woman. My body is responding like you're a woman. Anyway, all right, now that we've brought some levity in, all right, we'll get to the serious stuff. This is quite serious. So now he starts going after MTG. And you guys have probably all read it, the huge diatribe, you know, it goes on about all his accomplishments. But the most important parts are that he says he's withdrawing her endorsement. Or his endorsement for her, calls her wacky. All she does is complain, and that she won't stop calling the office, et cetera, et cetera. I think he also called her low IQ in there. Just a lot of horrible, horrible things to say about somebody that has been known for her ardent support of you. So that was shocking. That was all kind of unraveling while we were streaming, I think. And then
Trump is grabbing by the pussy. I mean, at the end of the day, Trump has, you know, one thing that everybody should understand. Trump has loyalty to no one, not even family, not even his own blood. He has no loyalty but to himself. That's it. And that was the thing that Roy Cohen tried to instill in him. And Trump eventually overthrew Roy Cohen, burned that bridge, burned everybody around him, and keeps burning as he goes. That's it.
So poor MTG responds. And she obviously says he attacked me. And she says, apparently this is what sent him over the edge. The Epstein files. Obviously, she goes on. This is what she voted for. She stands with the victims. I worship God. Jesus is my savior. And I serve my district and the American people. And that she shared some screenshots. One is a text she sent to Donald J. Trump. And one is a text she sent to Natalie, who I believe is one of Trump's aides. But both of them basically say, you know, if you're not involved, then release the files. Let's talk. She talks about Bill Clinton in there. So this is really interesting. I also think that she's good at, she's got a good thermometer. Whoever's working with MTG, you're doing good. Cause this, I worship God. I don't worship or serve Donald Trump. I worship God. Jesus is my savior. That was a banger line. Whoever thought that up, because that created another divide in a way. Like if this MAGA thing is a little bit of idolatry sort of vibe. So that all happens on November 14th. And the people in MAGA attacked her for posting those screenshots.
It's crazy. You know, she's trying to be transparent, which I very much value. She's out there talking about transparency and what's going on and trying to show the American people what's going on behind the scenes. And everybody that's a sycophant at this point is attacking her. Instead of being, you know, Make America Great Again is not about Trump. It's about the country. But the fanboy club is all about Trump. It's a Trump show. It's not about the country necessarily. He could burn down the country and they'd all love it. He could be Nero playing the fiddle and when the whole Rome is burning and everybody's going to be clapping and saying, what a hero, what an amazing man, give him a couple other prizes, right? So I think that Marjorie Taylor Greene is doing what a public servant should do. Basically, here we go. Here are the logs. Here's what I'm up to. And I might not agree with her on every policy, but I'll tell you one thing. And I heard this from a black communist today. She is the most progressive member of the House of Representatives in the United States today. That's a fact to a lot of radicals, a lot of revolutionaries, a lot of people who are in solidarity with Russia, with China, with Venezuela. She's the one speaking truth to power at this point, while all the Democrats are in bed with that same power structure. Mm-hmm. And she's out there risking everything and going against the most powerful man in the United States at great personal sacrifice. That should be commended.
I'm so glad you brought this up because the left, I won't even talk about MAGA. I'll let them eat their own, I guess. I don't know. They sound crazy. The left is giving her a purity test. Why are you giving her a purity test? She's not running on the left. What are you doing? And then they're like, well, she's bad on Venezuela. So I'm glad you brought it, Venezuela. She was bad on Venezuela. She did say in October. Now, listen, this is a person. Let me just liken this. Now, I'm not saying MAGA's a cult. Let me liken this to somebody who does come out of a cult or a situation where they're sort of brainwashed. Back in October, she was still very much in MAGA, okay? She said she was under the guise that the boats were being blown up for drug issues, whatever. In November, November 4th, when she appeared on The View, which is the first thing that pissed off Trump, on The View, she said, they asked her directly about Venezuela. She said, I do not support regime change. Period.
Right.
That was the first one that ticked off Trump. That's a huge break from Trump because they have outwardly said they want Maduro to step down.
Correct.
So we have to be forgiving. This is somebody who was not good on Israel, was terrible on Israel. And now she's become one of our most outspoken heroes about, well, I don't want to say hero, but outspoken critics of AIPAC. So, you know, I really caution you to start putting her under like purity tests that you would give another politician that was maybe running in your party. But to give her purity tests and then like when she's doing more than any of the feckless Democrats who have been running around Brooklyn with Mamdani for the last 2 months, give me a break. Okay.
The same Mamdani who said he would arrest Putin if he ever stepped foot in New York.
Exactly.
Come on.
So, and we'll talk more about MTG. So then the next morning, November 15th, so yesterday, we figure, okay, things will settle down. No, Trump comes at first thing in the morning. And Marjorie Traitor Greene is a disgrace to our great Republican Party. Wow, a traitor.
That's heavy. Listen, when people hear traitor, the next word that usually comes to mind if you were to do a test is death, right? Because traitors get death, basically. That's their punishment. Their punishment is execution. So calling her traitor is a very dangerous escalation. You might disagree with somebody. You might, for example, not see eye to eye. But to call somebody a traitor is a heavy label. Heavy. I'm telling you.
I agree, especially for her. She responds like this: I am now being contacted by private security firms with warnings for my safety as a hotbed of threats against me are being fueled and egged on by the most powerful man in the world. As a woman, I take threats from men seriously, and I now have an small understanding of the fear and pressure the women who are victims of Jeffrey Epstein and his cabal must feel. And she goes on. That's incredible. That's incredible.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So all of that absolutely. Happened yesterday. I wake up this morning. She had already given an interview. Now, I know you guys might be like, oh, Sarah's kissing a lot of MTG ass. And I am. And I'm going to show you why. This is why I'm, because MTG is the only representative aside from Thomas Massey that I know reads our our publication. And this is why I will always stand MTG.
One of the most extensive examples of regime change operations fueled by USAID is that of their role in the Syrian civil war aimed at toppling Bashar al-Assad. Reports from DD Geopolitics and other sources estimate that USAID funneled over $15 billion into Syria over a decade, covertly funding opposition groups, mercenaries, and anti-government networks under the cover of humanitarian aid. This included support for militant factions and propaganda efforts, often in collaboration with the National Endowment for Democracy. The operation culminated in Assad's overthrow in 2024 by Western-backed groups, with USAID's financial trails documented in congressional budget reports and criticized by Syrian officials as interference masks assistance. Mr. Roman, do these kinds of activities carried out by an American agency make Americans safer at home, or do they risk embroiling us in more deadly and costly foreign conflicts?
That clip's perfect. Now, that clip is from February. So we now know that she reads what we post. Not just we, I mean the greater general we. She reads what people are posting. She also liked my post yesterday. So we know she's reading what people are posting. And she's internalizing it. She's learning from it. And then she's taking it to the House floor about USAID and NED. And the reason why that clip also ties in is because, and we're going to see after when she starts the interview, this is what she first brings up, which I hope a lot of veterans see this clip, because I am a veteran. You're a veteran. This really touched me. Well, I shouldn't say touch. That's a little dramatic. This really, I liked it.
And I can disagree with the president at times, especially particularly this past Monday on the Marines' 250th anniversary, when he honored the new Syrian president, who is an Al-Qaeda terrorist and was wanted by our government for years with a $10 million bounty up until March of this year. I very much am against that. I think that was very hurtful to the great men and women who served over in the Middle East and were sent there, and many of them that were killed and mm-hmm. injured and live with PTSD to this day from fighting Al-Qaeda. So there's things I disagree with, and I'm allowed to do so.
Yeah, it's so true. It's true. I just
did listen. Any of the Democrats say any of this? Do any Nobody of the Democrats did. Say any of this?
No, but I haven't heard it. I haven't. If somebody can point me to the direction, I'd be more than happy to see it. But I didn't see anything like that.
Right.
I didn't see anything like
that. And she's on CNN, no less. She's talking to Dana Bash on CNN, one of the most leftist, toxic leftist journalists. So she's putting her money where her mouth is. And Dana did not give her no slack on this interview. She went, and I'm going to show you, she pushed Marjorie. And people are saying, oh, she's an actor. Sure, I know. All politicians are actors. We're not fawning over Marjorie Taylor Greene and putting her up for the next leader of the world. We're just saying, like, somebody needs to carry this torch. And we need to give that person support and analyze what that person's saying and correct them, because obviously she's correctable. And yeah. We're going to wait until you see the things she said in this interview. Very, very interesting. Well, let me know. I'm going to just stop talking about it. I'll just play it. This is crazy. This is kind of a long clip, but please watch the whole thing.
Congresswoman, you posted on X that President Trump is, with his comments, fueling a, quote, hotbed of threats against you. Obviously, any threats to your safety are completely unacceptable. But we have seen these kinds of attacks or criticism from the president at other people. It's not new. And with respect, I haven't heard you speak out about it until it was directed at you.
Dana, I think that's fair criticism. And I would like to say humbly, I'm sorry for taking part in the toxic politics. It's very bad for our country. It's been something I've thought about a lot, especially since Charlie Kirk was assassinated, is that I'm only responsible for myself and my own words and actions. And I am committed, and I've been working on this a lot lately, to put down the knives in politics. I really just want to see people be kind to one another. And we need to figure out a new path forward that is focused on the American people, because as Americans, no matter what side of the aisle we're on, we have far more in common than we have differences. Yeah. And we need to be able to respect each other with our disagreements.
So just to put a button on this, you regret the things that you have said and posted in the past, the Facebook post that was taken down of you in 2020 holding a gun alongside the squad, encouraging people to go on the offense against the socialists, liking a tweet of somebody calling for the execution of Nancy Pelosi and former President Obama, just examples?
Well, Dana, as you know, and many people know, I addressed that back in 2021. And of course, I never want to cause any harm or anything bad for anyone. So that was addressed back then. And okay, I very much stand by my words I said then, and I stand by my words today. I think America needs to come together and end all the toxic, dangerous rhetoric and divide. And I'm leading the way with my own example, and I hope that President Trump can do the same.
Okay, what else do you want me to do besides take this woman at what she's saying on CNN and apologizing publicly? Have you ever heard a politician apologize? I've never heard one apologize for anything, let alone their own actions that may have hurt people.
It's very rare. It's very rare these days. And I have to say, look, you know, and actually I was talking to Ajay Mubaraka tonight about it. And, you know, he was a former VP candidate for the Greens in 2016. I voted for him and Jill Stein. And we were saying, and I said, look, she experienced now the cyclone that she helped instigate over all these years. When it hits close to home, that's when you realize how powerful it is. That's when you realize how destructive it is. That's when you realize, when you're no longer on the sidelines, but in the middle of it, that's when you realize the damage that it can do. So I think that she's had a, you know, come to Jesus moment, so to speak. And I think she's understanding just how powerful Trump is in terms of the movement, even though, of course, it's cracking and fissuring, and you're seeing the kind of the slow decay of it. But I still think that she's understanding the power that these people have. And she's saying, I'm willing to take this political sacrifice. Look, I don't agree with with most policy things that she has, obviously.
No.
But I'm just saying that, look, in the course of revolutionary processes and transformations, you got to look to people who are advocating and pushing that train forward. Whoever's propelling that locomotive of revolution further, you're going to jump on board. Absolutely. That's the whole point. And that's, you know, whether United Front, Popular Front, I don't know. And clearly, at this point in the U.S., this is the state of the U.S. of U.S. politics. She is now more progressive than people who call themselves on the left. And that's a problem. That's a problem. And that shows you just the state of U.S. politics today.
Really? Seriously? I mean, and this isn't a good thing that we have to... It's not a bad thing, but it's not a good thing that we have to put loud the praises of MTG, who was closer to like Tea Party libertarian policy and values than she is to us. It's just goes to show the state of the left, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. I don't know. This is the last clip from that interview, but it's only 18 minutes long, not the clip, the whole interview. You guys can go watch it. It's on YouTube. She does talk about more about the Trump exchanges, but this is the most important one to me, selfish me.
Okay, so on that, I do want to ask you about something you posted just yesterday on X. You questioned who and what country is putting so much pressure on Trump to keep the Epstein files hidden. And you included a picture about donations from pro-Israel lobbying group APAC. What are you trying to say there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's the question that many Americans are asking, especially when we saw information recently come out in these emails that the Oversight Committee that I serve on has released. And we saw Jeffrey Epstein with ties to Ehud Barak. We saw him making business deals with them, also business deals that involved the Israeli government, and seems to have led into their intel agencies. And I think the right question is to ask is, was Jeffrey Epstein working for Israel? And I'm proud to say I don't take money from AIPAC. I don't take money from any special group of people. I'm just representing my district and the American people. And so that's what I was referring to.
I just want to be clear. Are you saying Israel is pushing the president of the United States to cover up the Epstein files? And what evidence do you have that that is the case?
I simply just asked out loud, is there a foreign government? And it could be any foreign government, but is a foreign government pushing to keep this covered up? Because people just don't understand the big fight against.
Well, you had AIPAC files up there. It was pretty clear which government you were talking about.
That I'm questioning that government in particular and questioning any other foreign government.
So in this interview, she also questions Jeffrey Epstein's relationship to Ehud Barak. Now, I don't know if we discussed it on our stream, but I know I discussed it in Spaces. Jeffrey Epstein was in constant contact with Ehud Barak. Ehud Barak was at Epstein's house more than one time, and freaking what's his face lived next door. Howard Lutnick, another slime ball. I think the most important thing about the relationship that was revealed was that Jeffrey Epstein was telling Ehud Barak how to handle not only, and he also wrote a speech for him, the chemical attack at Ghouta. So he had a direct hand in influencing a false flag operation and foreign policy in that region. That's important. And now I want to show you this last clip that I have for today. This is Ari Ben-Menashe. He's a former Israeli intelligence operative or officer. We used to report directly to the prime minister, and now he lives in Canada. Listen to what he says.
I believe that the American government is sort of trapped by the Israelis. Jeffrey Epstein is one of their tools to trap them.
And what do you think of Dershowitz's denial?
Hold on a second. I want to give you an example. President Bill Clinton, Ehud Barak, met Arafat in the 90s, and there was no deal. The reason was Epstein. They were being blackmailed by Epstein. Ehud Barak was also a friend of Epstein, the prime minister of Israel at the time. But he was being blackmailed by the Israeli right wing as well. And they stopped an agreement with Arafat. They were about to reach an agreement there for a two-state solution, but that was stopped because of Epstein. They were both being blackmailed by Epstein.
And so Jeffrey Epstein, in a way, presumably being used as a tool by the Israelis, helped to change the course of history in this region.
And it wasn't only about sex. It was also the money issue. Where was the money coming from? But everything is stuck over Gaza. And I believe the Israelis have the American government captive due to what happens with Epstein. And I don't think Trump wants to continue this war or the genocide. I think it's the Israelis holding him back.
One might ask, why do they need Jeffrey Epstein? Why can't they just assassinate Donald Trump?
Somebody tried to assassinate him, didn't they? Before the election. It doesn't always work. I believe that he can end the genocide right now if he just stops being scared of the Israelis. What are they going to say about him? How many girls did he abuse? How many billions of dollars he took? Let him say whatever they say. He should stop the genocide. Let them do whatever they want to do. Morality should take over. I encourage him to stop the genocide at any price.
Do you believe him? A lot of people, I mean, I try to take Ari Ben-Menashe's words with a grain of salt because he is a prior Israeli intelligence operative. But I mean, what's happening right now is that Trump tried to do his peace plan in Gaza. The Israelis do not like it. News came out yesterday that the Israelis are refusing. They say, we've hit a snag moving on to phase two of Trump's peace plan. Right. We were getting closer and closer to a two-state solution. I mean, as close as we could say. And then all of a sudden, all of this stuff starts dropping. It's just a food for thought.
He calls it genocide. I mean, okay, he could be playing. It could be PSYOP. It could be who knows what. But I think that there's something, I don't know. I'll take it with a grain of salt, but I would need a lot of salt to disagree with some of the things that he said and to kind of find fault.
You're
breaking everything up that he said. Then we're going to... Can you hear me?
A little bit, yeah. You're in and out.
No, I was just saying that I would agree with a lot of what he said.
I think
a lot of us agree with it.
I do too. I did pull a hat out so we could do the tinfoil hat out like minute. But so I don't know. No, I don't know. So, I mean, that leaves because the way that he suggested is that the right was blackmailing Ehud Barak. Because Epstein wasn't bribing Ehud Barak. He was friends with Ehud Barak. Epstein was bribing Bill Clinton. But we also know that the blackmail of Bill Clinton was done for the benefit of Netanyahu. So there were a few people that were kind of theorizing that Trump may have been a Benjamin Netanyahu project from the start. A Benjamin Netanyahu / Kushner project. Not Jared, his father. The family, the crime syndicate, that Trump was literally a project, and that Epstein may have been his handler.
What if Jared Kushner is a honeypot for Ivanka?
I thought of that too.
About it. You can have a honeypot both ways, and it's happened in history.
It's too much for me. Starts to give me agita. It's too much going crazy. On.
There's a lot going on.
We got through it all in under an hour. I don't know how we did that.
I'm proud of us. I just want to let everyone know what's going on here in Brazil.
Yeah, please.
So we're here at COP30. I'm here with the Iranians. There was a great two booths for ecocide, genocide. The indigenous people of the Amazon tried to storm the Blue Zone to talk about the ongoing plight. They were forcibly pushed back, and I'm sure we can find video of that and show it on Wednesday when we talk again, and I'll have some videos from here. But the big thing was that a lot of people came out in support of Palestine. There were massive chants and rallies. Some of the flotilla members came out to some of the rallies here, and the big thing was that the genocide is not the full story. It's also ecocide, the destruction of water, natural resources, the slaughter of over 2 million livestock, the destruction of 60,000+ olive trees, all vegetation, the destruction of sanitation, and ultimately the destruction of that topsoil layer that allows for growth of plants, not to mention the chemicals, white phosphorus, uranium, and depleted plutonium, and all that stuff that was dropped. I mean, we're talking about a complete destruction of the ecosystem. So that's to show you just the environmental. And of course, I'm going to say it here, and I said it here in multiple speeches at COP30. The biggest threat to the environment and to humanity is war. War is the biggest polluter. War and the war machine is by far the most destructive for the environment. So until we get that under control and until we address that issue, there is no solving any sort of climate issues at all, or just generally our well-being on this planet. Herbicides, pesticides, fungicides, you name it, GMOs, they're all connected with the military-industrial complex. A lot of this technology comes out of bioweapons research and a lot of the chemical research that goes on in laboratories. And so I just want people to understand that and understand the implications of this web of connections that goes back to the war machine.
I think that that's important, even if you don't believe in climate change or that it's... I don't want to be poisoned. I don't want to be poisoned by depleted uranium. How about that?
I don't want to
be poisoned by pesticides. So
exactly. Exactly.
That stuff is tied into it. Exactly. Let's do some super chats.
Let's do it.
MAGA finish. Okay. I caution anybody to dance on the grave of MAGA. I won't dance on their grave at all because I would rather see America First succeed. But don't underestimate the Democrats' ability to fuck shit up. They love to lose. The Democrats love to lose. Why? They make a much better opposition party than they do a party in charge. They make more money. Yep. They're more effective. They get to whine and cry. They get to do their little videos and all their dances and stuff. And they get to act like they're doing something when they're actually just as feckless as they were before. They're just making more money. So I caution you. They can always fuck it up. Again, with the Bubba isn't Clinton. There's another person that with the nickname Bubba that I forget who was another politician. And then there's a Baptist preacher. Thanks for all you guys do. I love the everybody loves the intro. We'll put it up. I'll get a copy and I'll put it up on the Twitter account. Thank you guys for always watching and thank you for your super chat. Someone theorized that a false flag will be created by Mossad, who's in Venezuela already. That's an interesting theory. I don't think they would take out the Ford because it'd be really difficult. And it's our newest seaworthy vessel, newest seaworthy carrier. So if they took it out, that would be
that would be huge.
So maybe one of
that's like the USS Liberty.
Yeah, it would be like the USS Liberty times 10. So, but maybe something smaller, or maybe, you know, like a lot of Marines get killed somehow. Or yeah, I mean, that's obviously in the realm of possibility. Good call. I didn't even really think of that. I guess because we're so flooded with so much crap. Thank you, Nathaniel Westerman with two N's. There's no extradition in Israel. Anyone notice the inner circle? Well, yeah, of course. Or Zionist Christians, but for the most part, Zionist Jews. Oh, Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham. This is interesting because the line, and I think I watched Nick Fuentes the other night. He was talking about who's on MAGA and who's on America First. And the first person he named on MAGA was Lindsey Graham. And Trump already endorsed him for his election. Imagine like you're with Trump and Lindsey Graham and you think that you're right.
Oh my God. It's just not possible.
The Greek people and their government, I only starred that for Chris, are like water and olive oil. Yeah, but the people are the olive oil and the
that's right. The people are the olive oil. The people.
This all right, guys. This is huge. I'm getting my first Groiper super chat. I am so proud and honestly. Thank you very much. And I'm actually really proud of you guys. And you know, I was thinking about it today. I was like, wow, you know, I don't want to give Nick too much credit, but I do have to give him his flowers. If you think about it, the incessant campaign of the Groypers to get Nick back onto Twitter helped to open these floodgates and get us to where we are now, whether you want to acknowledge that or not, whether it was good or bad or whatever you want to say about it, getting Nick back on Twitter was the catalyst that started all of this rolling downhill and AIPAC and ADL and all of that. So Trump is the poster child of out of touch. Yes, he has no idea how to read a room. French solution sounds pretty good. I caution you to start referencing guillotines. That's like more of a leftist thing. You know, steal the guillotines. Spaghetti world order incoming. I make a great, great, great marinara. Well, not marinara. It's gravy in Italy, but Massey and MTG are literally being handed the mic drop moment and victory. They are. But I hope they don't get too big for their britches. You know, you keep going on CNN, you're going to alienate the people on the right that do still support you. You just gotta, there's a balance. And I think Massey's doing a great job. I think I caution MTG to maybe reel it back in just a little bit, because somebody brought up a good point while we were watching the clip. She apologized while on CNN. That's not going to go over well on the right. I didn't think of it that way. Like she didn't. And so that's not a good look. So yeah, I see. Are you not? Yes. Yes. So we just talked about that. They're very vulnerable sitting in the Caribbean. The Trump campaign's collusion with Israel, while U.S. media fixated on Russian interference in the Russian in the campaign to influence the outcome, went unreported. The Nation. Oh, well, yeah, of course. That was the point. A lot of the stories I think that get planted are just planted by Israel anyway, to just take the heat off of what they're doing or messing about. And somebody was screaming today in a space about how Israelis, we have an Israeli organized crime problem in our country, and we really, really do. Really, really do. Producer just messaged me. This just came out. More horror. This is not a good sign. I'll let Chris react to this clip from Trump. This is Trump today speaking to the generals.
Do anything you want. You can do anything you want. And if you don't like what I'm saying, you can leave the room. Of course, there goes your rank. There goes your future.
If you don't like what I'm saying, you can leave the room. There goes your rank. There goes your future. Don't forget the administration now lives behind the guarded gates of military bases. Their approval rating has plummeted below 30%, I think. They are National Guards in some of our major cities with some on the ready to go to others. You tell me what they're prepping for. Martial law.
They might be prepping for a strike. Martial law, a strike. Both? Who knows?
Starbucks is already on strike. Yep.
Who knows?
Well, we'll cover more of that and COP 30 on Wednesday as this all continues to unfold. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of your weekend, what's left of it. Chris is at a cafe in Brazil, probably with hot bitches everywhere. Other than that, he's frozen anyway, so I could say whatever I want. Other than that, we will see you guys on Wednesday. Please visit ddgeopolitics.com. Get yourself some merch. Read the Substack. It's free. I need to write something soon. Okay, we'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. Take care.